welcome everyone to another episode of Classroom to Staffroom, where we talk all things teaching. I'm joined by my co-host Jodie Epier.
How are we all?
I'm Miles O'Kane, and we look forward to taking you all along for the ride. My man, we're into a term three, deep term three, or past the halfway point at least. It's been a few weeks since we've been here. Good to be back.
It is. It actually is.
Good to be back. Last couple of weeks, give me your thoughts. What's been going on in the classroom? Good, bad, improvements if needed?
Oh, a little bit of everything, to be honest. It's one of those terms where you just got to get through, make sure that you finish strong. Usually it leads into things such as most high schools will be looking at doing their athletic carnivals coming up. So it's sort of like making sure everything is on point.
Yep.
I think over the last couple of weeks, though, it's been good. It's been good in the sense that majority of the kids, let's say 90% of the kids, actually focus, which is really, really nice when they come into the department.
Yep.
It's just that 10%. I think it's always going to be that between 5 to 10% of students that sort of buck the trend, but yeah.
The rumour has it, mate, that you were in a leadership role the last couple of weeks. I believe you were a storm blazer there, mate. How do you find it without going into too much or you say stuff? You enjoyed your time?
It's actually quite enjoyable. Just keeping on top, making sure that you're like making yourself aware of all the sort of things that are happening, i.e. relief teachers who come and go, making sure relief work is sorted. Keeping on top of our staff members, just making sure they're following through with things. But just all the things that you've done over the last few years, you know, it's just making sure that everything's maintained. And I think the biggest thing is the follow through and the follow up.
Yeah.
That's one of the big ones.
The accountability, isn't it? No, by all rhyme and reason, mate, all the feedback I got was very positive from everyone.
But you've, at the same time, you know, that occurred because of a special event that's happened with you.
Well, mate, you know, I've just been sitting at home for the last couple of weeks. No, mate, so daughter came on the 10th of August on the expected date.
Yep.
So look, I think it's an interesting thing I find, man. Like everyone, you know, you kind of prepare yourself and you think you're ready for it all. And then it happens, you're like, holy, here we go. But it was, it's a beautiful thing, obviously. So she came out, Ariella O'Kane, our daughter, 2.8 kilos. So she's a little bit under size-wise, because I'm obviously quite tall, and my wife is quite tall as well, but the way she's eating at the moment, man, she'll, she'll be making up that weight in no time. So it's funny, like I used to think if I missed the sleep, you know, a while back, like my life was over. Now if I get more than 3 hours sleep, it's an incredible day. Oh, and then this is my wife that we know is doing most of the work, so she's doing a lot better. I'm just whinging in the background. But it's just on that, like it's hard. Like, obviously, you know, raised your own children many moons ago, but it's just holding that little person in front of you, changed them, fed them, carried them, and they're still crying.
Yep.
You just feel helpless, don't you?
Well, I'll tell you what, it takes me back. You know, I miss it, but at the same time, I'm happy that I also have adult children at the same time. It's one of those things where you sort of like, it's nice to have that part of your life, but it's also nice to see the other side of it. I think the exciting thing that I can say for yourself is that there are a lot of moments that are just going to happen that you'll capture as they get older. And I think one of the biggest things is enjoy them while they're young, you know. It's one of those things, that one of the pleasures that you have as a parent.
Yep.
And then as they get, when you get into teenagers, well, we work with teenagers anyway.
We do.
So, you can have a, depend on which way they go, but everyone is individual, you know. You sort of hope the best that they turn out to be good people.
And that's it. Obviously it's not exactly like teaching, but teaching has similarity, though it's very personable, you know, and who you are as a person reflects who you are as a teacher and a parent. But it's, I'm definitely in the deep end. I love my lucky, I've got a very supportive wife who's very good with my daughter and caring family and stuff. But we're just been reading calculus to Ariella every second night, mate, getting on the all the mathematical theorems and the rest of it. But it's,
I think one of the things I remember, sometimes simple things sort of you don't forget, but they just miss your mind a little, and you have to that's what I sort of think.
Mm-hmm.
I remember early into being a dad, I think there was a couple of things you sort of, not deliberately forget, but you just like, not fully aware of it. And then you go, and then all of a sudden, people go, you got thing brain. I can't remember the term they used. Like a new parent sort of mushy brain that everything is now.
I think it's asleep, isn't it? Like I find even trying to like day to day, like the simplest, that's the other thing like I find out because of the lack of sleep, trying to think stuff through. So with all the like the baby equipment, trying to assemble it and put like, even like simple bottles and stuff. I'm like, how am I attaching this? This is not a reflection of my IQ right now. This is a reflection of my lack of sleep. But it's mate, it's all part of the life experience. You live and learn, don't you?
Oh, that's it.
But it's been a fantastic experience so far. So back. It's been a while since we've done the left field question. Let's keep a bend. First episode back today for a while. Let's keep it on topic. What keeps you motivated in the teaching profession still to this day?
I'm going to go students, bro. I'm going to actually go students. You know, when you see that smile and that light bulb go on, and like even though for some kids they get it quite quickly, and for some kids, bro, it's the kids that take a little bit longer, and then when they get it, it's like, wow, that's what keeps me going. I think it's that drive to want to try and make an impression onto kids that when they get older, they can go, wow, you know, just through pure hard work, I got this, I achieved that.
Yeah, I mean, that's my one as well, man. It's to give people better opportunity in life, be able to make their life into what they want to do. And you hope at the sort of foundation level, that's education.
That's right.
But even just sort of getting in and getting them through limitations and working through difficulties, all that's a character building thing. So I think in today's focus, we look at dealing with parents as school teachers. So I guess for some teachers, it can be the root of all fear. For other teachers, parent contact is a staple of their work.
Yep.
I think the best way to do this is first take a look at the importance of teaching and parent communications, then look at the different types of parent communications that exist in a school setting, and maybe some finish off with some tips to deal with difficult parents.
Yep.
That works by you, man. We'll jump into it. All right. So the first point, importance of teaching and parent communication. And so I was back on the research, my man. So we'll go through that first and I'll get your thoughts on it. So, yeah, I wasn't able to get the sources this time, so I do apologize. But what the research is saying about the teaching and parent communication. So strong communication is fundamental to a parent-teacher relationship and to foster a sense of community for the child between home and school. There's plenty of evidence that shows positive communication between parents and teachers helps to improve a child's academic performance. Next point, when parents and teachers communicate well with one another, they're able to support learning together or student learning together. And then finally, parental engagement recognises the important role of both parents and teachers play in developing positive attitudes towards learning and education for the children, building the motivation and confidence as learners, and fostering their enjoyment of learning. So I guess it's that, yeah, the interaction between teacher and parents and sort of the importance of that relationship. What's your thoughts?
I look at that very first point that you're talking about. Strong communication. Like, as teachers, I think we're natural communicators because we talk with students quite a lot. We usually talk with a lot of our colleagues. I think to have strong communication with parents is a vital thing. You've got to be able to talk to parents when their students are doing really well, and also keep on top of the parents or let the parents be aware when their students aren't doing so well. It's both sides of the coin you've got to look at, because just going from experience, I loved that when the teachers of my children would ring me and simply just give me a heads up about how well my kids are doing. Or even if we could address something that we could do at home to address the child. So if there's something that they're not doing well, the strong communication is one of the key factors. I think you've just got to, if you're not used to it, you've just got to get used to it. It's a thing, in my opinion, where it helps. It helps no matter what.
From your point of view and your experience, the teachers you've dealt with, do you think teachers are more happy to phone home to parents or more afraid to phone home to parents?
Yeah, I think that's a bit of both. I think I'm looking at, depending on your character, what type of person you are, I think one of the big things is that if you get into the profession, it's part and parcel. You can't, it's like a piece of the puzzle you just have to have.
To have difficult conversations.
You have to have those difficult conversations. And even if the parent is a little bit irate, I think 9 times out of 10, when you talk to a parent civilly and they will take it on board, they know that you're there for their student, but they can't control, or we can't control what's happening with the student at the time. It's usually they'll come on side. Most parents would usually come around and say, okay, what can I do? So it's one of those things that as long as you explain to the parent that who you are and what you're trying to do, and that you're trying to work with your daughter or your son to get better results. 9 times out of 10, parents will come around, bro.
Yeah, I agree. And it's definitely how you approach a parent as well. I mean, I haven't been able to experience being a parent from a teacher, but I know being a teacher, making a phone call to a parent, as long as you're respectful and you're there for the genuine reason to help the student or the child, that's what the parents care about mostly. I have majority of teachers I've been around with parental contact, it seems to go quite well. I think there's a nervousness to people or an anxiety. I think it is around that people having difficult conversations. But there has been a few times where that teacher parental conflict has gone south.
Yes.
And it starts off with that negative tone and kind of accusing parents of
That's it.
lack of this or a lack of that, which isn't the way to do it.
And as you say, you know, it depends on how you form that relationship or that rapport on the phone with that parent. Mm. If you come out and start pointing fingers, obviously the parent's going to go, oh, back up. But if you come out and say, look, who you are, be respectful, say, look, we're trying to explain what's happening in class, 9 out of 10, the parent will come along and say, oh, look, okay. Well, I've had a couple of difficult conversations with a couple of parents, and they just done a big 360 and said, what can I do? What do I need to do to help out?
Yes.
So as long as you're respectful and trying to work together in the right directions, 9 times out of 10, it's on the right. It's good.
The positive phone call as well. I think that's been, yes, for me since I started in the profession. It's always been a go-to to get big results or get decent size results. It's not, it can be a couple of minutes on a phone, just, yep, saying, look, your son or your daughter's done well here, yep, and they've improved here. And just, especially in those hard-edged kids, it sort of gets them, okay, I'm not just messing everything up. I can have a bit of success here and sort of use that as momentum moving forward. Which brings me to, so my next subsection to this point, what do you see as the benefits of good communication between teacher and parents?
As I said at the beginning, communication is key. I've had numerous phone calls where I've rung a parent, and because the parent sees it's from the school number,
mm-hmm,
9 times out of 10, some parents think it's going to be a negative phone call.
Right.
But when you actually say, oh, no, I'm actually, they'll say, oh, what they've done now. I said, look, to be honest, I'm ringing you because they've done X, Y, and Z extremely well.
Yep.
And then you hear the tone of their voice changing, like, oh, and then they all of a sudden it's like, oh, wow. And even so much so that it makes their day. The parent then even sort of acknowledges their child and actually say, I got a phone call from.
Yes.
And that reinforces the fact of the work that they've done well at school. The parent reinforces it, and then everyone's like, it's just like a big positive
feedback.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's such a great thing to see, because that then gets the parent on side.
Yep.
And let's say you had good phone calls, and then all of a sudden little Johnny decides to not to do the right thing.
Yep.
And then you have that same phone call with the parent and say, oh, look, I'm actually ringing you because this has happened. They're like more than likely to come along and say, oh, look, what can I do? What do we need to do? I'm here to help.
Yeah, I think even the basic things, like, it sets the clear understanding, especially the earlier you make the parental contact in the year,
yep,
the better it's going to be, you know, and it's going to be consistency as well.
Mm.
I think it doesn't have to be every week, but maybe once or twice a term.
Yep.
But I think it sets those clear expectations, creates a more welcoming space for the student to learn. And then, yeah, it helps probably the schools that we've worked at, probably parents of students possibly have now the most healthiest of experiences at school.
Yeah.
So if you're a positive force coming on, or a genuine, yep, accountable force, as a teacher on the phone to that parent, because it starts to sway that parent back around as well and go, okay, there is an importance of education. We're here to help your son, daughter, to get to that better space.
And just touching on that one, and then when the kid comes back to school and they simply say something like, oh, look, Mum told me that you rang them up,
mm-hmm,
in a positive manner.
Mm-hmm.
That smile is automatically there, and you sort of reinforce the whole relationship building with that student. And then the student's like, wow, you know, you told Mum about all these cool things. Awesome. Thank you so much. And then they try and do even better. They try and get another one.
Yep.
So it's a positive on top of a positive. It's one of those things that if you can do it well, it works really well.
Yep. Just a quick interlude. I apologise to the viewers here. We've had to do these podcasts from our car now, so we've got the mums at football training rocking up. There might be a bit of background now, so we'll do better. Yeah, and I think the final point for me on that is, I think it's that holy trinity between student, teacher, parent. If you get that triangle happening, as you said, it's that feedback loop keeps, yep, everything moving in the right, yep, direction. And again, it doesn't need to be students getting 100% in tests, no, or high academics, just more praising the effort.
That's right.
Than the actual academic or physical performance, whatever it happens to be. So I guess rolling on from there, the next point is, I mean, parent phone call, the email, they're the easy ones to look at. But what other types of parent communication exist, when to use them, and the do's and don'ts to make the process as smooth as possible? So let's start with emails and phone calls home, both positive and negative, when to use. So that's pretty straightforward, isn't it?
Yeah. I think when I look at, if I send an email home, positive or negative, it's always followed up with a phone call, or other way around. It's, if you can't contact them one way, send a message or leave a message or even do an email.
Yep.
I think irrespective, the more, the better your communication lines are open with any parent on a positive or a negative,
yep,
it's still favorable. At the end of the day, it's a, it works in the favor of the teacher. It works in the favor of the parent because they're aware of the good or bad.
Yep.
And it also works in the favor of the student because then you've got two people, the parents and the teacher, working towards a common goal. If the, student's doing extremely well, then we're all supporting that student saying, well done. But if the student is not doing so well for whatever reasons, then again, there's a group of people trying to steer that student back on track.
Yes, that's right. And everyone's in the communication loop, aren't they?
Yeah.
Okay, what about the don'ts? What have you, from other staff, have you, what?
I think one of the don'ts, but I'll tell you honestly, is there are instances where some staff don't make any contact.
Sure.
It's one of those ones where it's, they'd rather not address it.
Yep.
And that, even from a parent side of you, I want to know, I would like to know if my son or daughters were doing well or not.
Mm-hmm.
And if not, more so the not part.
Mm-hmm.
If they're doing well, hey, keep on going. But if they don't do well, if they're rude or if they're doing something that they shouldn't be doing, I've actually come across some teachers who didn't follow up with the communication, i.e. email or phone call. And as a result, when the outcome came and it became too big, the question always remains, why didn't you let us know?
Yeah, it snowballs quickly. And then when it does have to intervene, it's too late.
Yeah.
I think, so the don'ts for me with phone calls especially, it goes back to what I said a few minutes ago. It's just the when it goes pear-shaped, is teachers sort of accusing, and parents can accuse teachers as well, but it's sort of saying remaining calm and composed and just, Brent, don't try to take things personally. Most of the time in my decade and a half experience, the parents are going to be pretty good if you're there for the, you know, genuine caring reasons. There's only been a few that have come in with their nose out of joint, but after a couple of minutes, after a couple of seconds normally, and I realise that you're actually, you know, a good person there to help, it all ends up quite well.
Absolutely.
And I think in those phone meetings as well, it's important to take away some initial steps to start improvement processes and things to work on. Okay, face-to-face meetings, when to use. So when would you use a face-to-face over a phone call or an email?
Oh, like, I think more face-to-face has to happen when there is repeated negative interactions.
Yeah.
And I think, like, you do whatever you can to steer it correct or correct it up in the sense of, let's say, detention or some form of correction somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Should that continue and the student does not modify their behavior, then making a phone call to have face-to-face conversation with the parents is important. I had rung up a parent a couple of weeks ago. That sort of thing happened. And I said to the parent, look, I'm going to ask you to come in. She goes, that's fine. I said, I'll work around when you're ready. So if you let me know what when you're available.
Yeah, that's a good one.
So I said, you give me a day, you give me a time, and I'll make myself available to come and see you. But we'll also get that student out of class, and we'll all be in the same room so that not only you and the, but also the student can hear what we've got in place. Because if I just say it just to mum, the interaction that mum and the student may have may not be the best relationship at that time.
Yes.
So it's important that everyone hears the same.
And you're right, I think it's important that students are there as well. Mm. And you do. I think those meetings, isn't it to go crazy with people?
Yeah.
I think just the teacher, the parent, and the student involved. Yep. Sometimes if it's a newer teacher or you're not completely confident in the room, I think it's supporting. Yep. The leadership position is fine as well. But those meetings, you don't want the parent to come in feeling like they're in an interrogation process either. You want to make it sort of as informal as possible.
And just so that all parties are aware that we're here to try and help make it better for everyone involved.
Yep.
It's not a us pick on you. It's a we all work together to try and come to a reasonable outcome for everyone.
Yep. I guess the final one's the granddaddy, so the parent nights.
Mm.
Do you remember your first parent night?
I do.
Yeah?
Many moons ago. Many, many moons. I'm 23 years in now.
Yep.
And I'm literally...
Because off the cab, just on fire straight away, or too big to get going?
Honestly, the kid, the parents, they were interested in their kids, but they were more interested in, because the school that I worked at when I first done my first teaching post, it was like on a small island. And if anything, because I played rugby, all they wanted to do was talk about who was coming up in the weekend, who were playing in the weekend.
So you were playing for the local team on the island, were you? Right. So trying to, were they for you or against your team?
Oh, they were all for us. The island team was quite tight.
Right.
And it was one of those ones where they wanted to quickly hear about their child, how they're doing.
And then what, just the other teams for the week?
And then straight into
who's got injuries? Man, it's nice to have that fame going around. Okay. What do you think? How many, so at the moment, most schools I work at have one or two parent nights a year.
Mm.
I personally, for me, I'd rather have a parent night a term than do report comments.
I agree with that.
That's just me, though. I'm not trying to change anything in the way that West Australian school do this, but I think just for me personally, I feel more effective having face-to-face contact and sort of be able to summarise what I'm saying to the parent than writing comments.
Yep.
Other people are different. Other people take more pride in comments. That's fine. I don't think you need to do more than one a term if you're going down that path.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, and the other thing is, like, it's hard for, I understand it's hard for parents these days because working longer hours and things like that. But yeah, I guess that's where I'm leaning. Yourself?
Yeah, bro. I totally agree. It's more personable. You know, you get they actually get to see your expression, then you see theirs, and you have a chuckle and a laugh about this, and then areas that they need to improve in.
Yep.
It's more instantaneous to the kid, to the parents as well. At the same time, if the student is present, it's even better.
Yep.
And then everyone, again, through communication, strong communication, everyone hears the same story.
Yep.
And 9 times out of 10, if there's areas for the student to pick up in, the parent will look at their child, and the child will look back at their parent, and then you know that interaction is, oh, you better straighten up this part, or you better sort that part up. So that's the good part. But see, as you know and I know, majority of the parents that we're trying to get in contact with are usually some of the parents don't show up, and those are the ones that you actually want to see.
Yep.
The ones that do show up, 9 times out of 10, really invested into their children, which is great. But it's all the others that sort of, not so much for whatever reasons, but you want to try and pull those other parents in so they have a form of connection to the school, form of connection to their child's learning, and just show interest.
So let's work off at the parent night, and it's 5-minute time slots for parents. What's your process? So I'll go first. So mine is get in, show the task reports first, so the academics, what's going on, where we're going, how they go from class, how they're relating per each assessment items, overall total grade they're currently sitting on, talk a bit about behaviour, organisation in class, and then do some steps for improvement. And I don't, 5 minutes in and out as well. And then at the end, things I need to follow up with that parent or that student.
Yeah.
I think if you start, what can happen, teachers can sort of linger around and just be too touchy-feely at times, and then just it gets nowhere. What's your process?
I agree. I'll try and get all the information that the parent needs to hear, and then allow them a bit of time to process, and then allow them questions to ask about, also what does this mean, and so forth. But yeah, get the information out there, tell them where they're doing really well, where they need to improve, and talk about behavior is always a good one to talk about, positive or negative. Talk about improvements, what they can do in other areas. And if you stick to that sort of a structure, it's almost like what you say in writing in a report: get out what they've done, identify the positives, identify something to work on. Very similar process, but the thing, the last minute or two, it's just Q&As, and then sometimes you can have a chuckle about things that the kid have done or little things that they may have done before. So I try and get all the info out, leave the last minute or two to just have a bit of a laugh, or so leave it on a good note.
Leave it on a good note. Okay, so final point, tips for dealing with difficult parents.
Ooh.
Okay, let's go one for one here. I think first one for me is help parents see the big picture. Make sure you see it too. So again, go tie it all back to where we started. You're trying to give that student the best opportunity in the classroom. So how can us as a teacher, the educator, and the parents and the students all work together for the common goal to improve?
Difficult parents in that perspective, exactly the same. It's showing that we're all working together. That's the main thing. Now, if a parent believes that the teacher is in doing the wrong, one of the things that you have to, like, I think in the position that I had over the last 3 weeks, is trying to show support for each other as colleagues. And professionally, we always try and do what's best by the kid. It's trying to address the areas that the kid's not doing so well in. Usually it's behavior for most phone calls. But you just got to win that parent over with just honesty. Honesty is the key. You know, tell them straight up sometimes. And like I said to one mum one time, I said, look, you just got to understand that your son is not doing so well in this area.
Yep.
And then she goes, oh, yeah. And they usually agree. And they come on and say, oh, yeah, I agree.
Give you three more tips, how best to deal with it. I think, and you build the rapport and the winning over with the parent is to emphasize and listen as well. That's not just sort of wait for them to stop so you can speak, but actually listen to what they're saying and see where you can add on to help, I guess, the situation.
Mm.
Next one I've got is, so, yeah, I'm a big one on keeping good records and be prepared.
Yep.
Doesn't need to be meticulous, but some stuff to go off, some data to go off, you know, just pulling stuff out of thin air.
Having records next to you, having any sort of evidence that suggests what's been happening, it's always good because you've got hard evidence that the parent can't, if the parent requests information or further information, you've got it there at hand.
Yep.
So, as you say, be prepared when you're going to have that difficult conversation with, you know, if there is an irate parent, whichever.
Yep.
But just be prepared.
Be prepared. I think we'll do one more each. So my final one is just, don't take stuff personal. Just stay calm and composed. And the big one, stay professional. Like, it's your job. In that line, I mean, not there taking abuse from parents, but just don't take things personal. Realize that everyone comes in with different baggage. And just if it is going down that route of negativity, just bring it back to the common goal to make the education experience in the classroom as best as possible for the student.
Totally agree. I'm going to say similar lines. I think at the end of the day, as long as we've got a common goal, both parent and staff member, to try and improve that student, however which way it ends up. But sometimes if the parent cannot speak civilly to that teacher, sometimes you may have to get someone to mediate, i.e. a head of department, i.e. someone in admin, just so that the emotions don't run off.
Yeah.
As you say, stay calm, cool, collected. That's one of the key parts. Because at the end of the day, if you take it personally, then you might need to recheck yourself.
Definitely. All right, my man, I think we're getting to the end of the episode. Yeah. So in closing remarks...
Any aspiring teachers out there, all I'm going to say is get in early with your phone calls. Make yourself aware to all of your students, positive and negative students, if there are, and just keep open communication. Any sort of positive, let the parent know. Any sort of negative, make them aware, because no matter which way it goes, it works in your favor. That's what I have.
Man, I can't beat that. My wish is I'm glad to be back and back into the potty, man. I'm looking forward to the next couple of weeks.
Nice.
Cool. Thank you for listening, and we look forward to the next episode.
Nice one.